Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:5-6. For in the day of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he will hide me. Psalm 27:5-6. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We'll give our children time to move to their class, and you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. In our wonderful journey through the Word of God, we come today to this magnificent passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. The Spirit of God uses the Apostle Paul to give to us so many magnificent truths in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians. We're down in verse 1 of chapter 6, which is an interesting verse indeed. We deal today with the subject of joy inextinguishable. It's a long word, but I believe a great descriptive word, joy inextinguishable. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're here today because of your matchless grace, and we thank you over and over again for the grace of salvation, the grace by which we live each day, and the grace that one day will take us home. We're experiencing every day that we live the joy that you've provided for us in the Christian life, that we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Our reason for being here again today is to turn our attention away from the distractions of this world and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of your word. We're thankful that you've given us everything we need for a truthful, triumphant, victorious, abundant life. And we are thankful today that we're privileged to be here once again to look at your wonderful word. Bless each one of us here today. Bless those who have difficulties, burdens, trials, tests, illness. We pray for Tracy and for the team that is moving Bibles into the areas where so many Bibles are desperately needed. And the Word of God and the gospel of salvation is to be presented. And we pray that you will bless this team as they work day after day. Bless our other missionaries in Africa and the Philippines and various places. We thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of all the many individuals in the Word of God who suffered, we discover that the Apostle Paul was one who had many difficulties and burdens and heartaches. We're going to read now 2 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 1. Read all the way down through verse 12, if you'll open your Bibles and let's follow along in this reading. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God to none effect in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, and imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true. Verse 9, as unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you're restrained in your own emotions. You are restrained in your own splotchna, which is an interesting word indeed. Some translations give that the word bowels. Some give the word spleen, which is actually an emphasis upon the seat of violent passions. Let me read again the Apostle Paul speaking to these Corinthians. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. You are not restrained by us, but you're restrained in your own emotional content. On the screen, you see 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, a magnificent verse indeed. I would enjoy preaching all of these verses, but I have chosen to park on this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. You'll see that the verse starts off, and working together. We beseech you also not to receive the grace of God to no purpose, or to receive the grace of God in vain. My joy today is to present to you an exegetical study of this verse, but I know that my joy in doing so would exceed your amount of joy in receiving it. And that's the reason why I'm not going to be lengthy, but I want you to see how powerful this verse is. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians, saying, and working together. We're going to pause for a few moments and look at that word, working together. It is a word which is made up of a compound word, which is ergon, which is the word for work, and then the prefix or the preposition soon, S-U-N, which means together with. So when you put those two parts together, you see working together. Ergon, ergeo, is the word for work. Soon is the word for getting together, and so it means working together. And working together, we beseech you. Now we'll pause for just a few moments on the word beseech and let you see that it is too a compound word made up of kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, and P-A-R-A, which is a prefix, a preposition, which means alongside. So it says, we beseech you that you do not receive the grace of God to no avail or no purpose or in vain. Notice, if you will, please, very quickly, that the word sunagero is a present active participle. Present tense means continuous action. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The participle is a word emphasizing the position in relationship to the circumstances. We go to the next word, beseech, and it is a present active indicative. I remind you again that the present tense means continuous action. The active voice means the subject produces the action of the verb. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. The Apostle Paul, I believe, is saying to us today that we can have joy inextinguishable. When you go into a room, do you take gloom or do you take joy? What is the attitude that you have when you move into a room? Over the years, I've seen individuals come into a room and I have felt something. I felt a joy. I felt an exciting spirit. I felt enthusiasm. And then there have been those times when individuals have come into my office or come into my place where I am, and I feel that the attitude presents somewhat of gloom and dismay. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'd like for you to answer these in your own heart and mind. We're dealing with the subject, joy inextinguishable. The first question that I have for you today, are you and I, are we really happy in the Lord? I'd like for you to put that down in your thinking and answer that for yourself. Are we really happy in the Lord? The second question that I have on the screen for you, is there anything really exciting about our relationship with Jesus Christ? As we live every single day, is there something exciting and joyful about our relationship? Or do we find ourselves in a spirit of dismay? Let's look at those two questions very quickly because I have more for you. Number one, are we really happy? Are we really happy in the Lord? The second thing, is there anything really exciting about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that the greatest thing that ever happened to you and me was when God moved us from being unsaved to saved. The greatest thing that ever happened in your life and mine was the time when we were born into God's kingdom. We were regenerated. We were made new. And so there's something that should be exciting about our lives on a day-by-day basis. I have more questions for you. Question number three. Does knowing Jesus Christ affect our conduct, our way of life on a day-by-day basis? Are we different because of our relationship to Jesus Christ? Does knowing Jesus Christ affect our conduct, our way of life? The next question, are we really different than unbelievers? That's a mighty powerful question indeed. Are we really different than unbelievers? And number five, whatever the question is, do you think the way the world thinks? And then, are we ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ? We're coming today to the study in the next session of that to answer, are we ambassadors for Jesus Christ? But I want to give you now one other question very quickly. You're copying these down, I trust, some of you. Does Jesus Christ affect our conduct, our way of life? Are we really different than unbelievers? Do we think the way the world thinks, or do we think the way God thinks? Are we ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ? And then one final question that I want to ask before we move into our study. Are we citizens of heaven working for a little while in a strange land? I thought this was an unusual thing for me to ask you today. I want you to think with me about this. Are we citizens of heaven working for a little while in a strange land? I'm sure that you all are aware of the fact that our time on this earth at the longest is extremely short. You may be very young here today. You may be older. You may be middle-aged. But I want you to know that when you compare 70, 80, 90 years to eternity, our time on this earth is extremely brief. Are we citizens of heaven? Yes, we've been born into God's kingdom. Are we working diligently for a little while in a strange land? This is not our home. We're just passing through. In preparation for this message today, I want you to know that I have tried to see some various aspects in relationship to answer those questions which I've just given you. Are we citizens of heaven? The answer to that is yes. We've been born into God's kingdom. Back there a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you did that, the Holy Spirit of God worked the miracle of transformation, and you became a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. We're citizens of heaven. We're working for just a little while in a strange land, and I'm sure that you know that is true. There's a name on the screen that you see now that you probably have never seen before. I'm giving you this in the light of the questions which I've just given you. The name is Richard Wurmbrand, Wurmbrand. If you study something about his life, you will find that he was an evangelist who spent 14 years in communist imprisonment, tortured in Romania. And we understand that in the midst of all of this, Richard had joy in the Lord, even in the midst of terrible circumstances. He's been referred to as a living martyr. That's an interesting expression, isn't it? A living martyr. He's also been expressed in this fashion. He was an iron curtain pall. An interesting expression indeed. An iron curtain pall. I want to tell you a little bit about him, so that's the reason why I'm putting this name in capital letters on the screen for you to be able to see. This young man was the youngest of four boys, born in 1909 in a Jewish family. He lived with his family for a short while. His father died when he was 9 years of age, and the Wurmbrands family returned at that time to Romania when Richard was only 15 years of age. He was an adolescent. He was sent to study Marxism in Moscow, but returned clandestinely the following year. He was pursued by secret police. He was arrested and held in prison. Now, you have to understand that here's a young man who's been saturated with the communistic concepts. So when returning to his mother country, the statement says, Wurmbrand was already an important communist individual. He was a communistic agent. He was a leader and a coordinator and a director from Moscow. Like other Romanian communists, he was arrested over a period of several times. Then he was sentenced, and then he was released, and then he was brought into communistic control again, back and forth. In 1936, on October the 26th, he fell in love and was married. And during this time, he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in 1938. Now, he was married in 1936. In 1938, he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What I've discovered about him is this. It was very interesting that there was someone who witnessed to him. There was someone who was willing to give him the gospel of salvation. And that particular person who gave him the gospel of salvation was a Romanian Christian carpenter. I pause to let you see something there. Here was an individual who was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a carpenter. And we find, as we understand some more things about Wurmbrand, that after that, he felt in his heart that God wanted him to communicate the gospel. He was first ordained by the Anglican Church, and then later, after World War II, by the Lutheran Church in 1944. Here's something I read about him. Wurmbrand began a ministry to his Romanian countrymen and to Red Army soldiers. When the government attempted to control churches, he immediately began an underground ministry, gathering people together, denouncing the government control over the churches. He was arrested on February the 29th, 1948, while on his way to church. Now, I have a lot of other things to say about him, but let me just simply point out the fact that over a period of time, he wrote 18 books, the most widely known being Tortured for Christ. You might want to look that one up and read Tortured for Christ. Variations of his works have been translated into more than 60 languages. He founded the international organization Voice of the Martyrs, which continues to aid Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith. All I wanted you to do is to take a little look at a man who was willing to give his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. The question that I asked a few moments ago, are we citizens of heaven, working for a little while in a strange land? And I've already put on the screen for you to see an evangelist, 14 years in communist imprisonment, tortured in Romania, and yet had a tremendous joy in the Lord under terrible circumstances. He's been described, as I've already said, as a living martyr and the iron curtain pall. We are to have tremendous joy because we're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said this one job. The Apostle Paul said his one job and one glory was to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. In a few moments, when we move into our second session today, we're going to deal with the fact that the Apostle Paul was an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Let me move along and let you take some notes. Roman provinces were divided into two types. You can put this down. Roman provinces were divided into two types. One under direct control of the Senate, and the other under direct control of the emperor. It's important for me to reiterate this. Roman provinces were divided into two types, one under direct control of the Senate, and the other under direct control of the emperor. The word ambassador in the Greek is an interesting word indeed. It is spelled P-R-E-S-B-E-U-E-I-N. This is a word that corresponds with a Latin word, legatus, L-E-G-A-T-U-S. We spend a few moments just to look at those words. We have a word Presbyterian that comes from the word. We have here the word P-R-E-S-B-E-U-E-I-N. That's the Greek word. We discover that peaceful provinces with no troops were senatorial provinces. In other words, dangerous provinces with troops were imperial provinces. There's a reason for me giving you this. Let's look at it again. Peaceful provinces with no troops were senatorial provinces. Dangerous provinces with troops were imperial provinces. The emperor then was the direct representative and the man who administered the province on behalf of the emperor. And he was called the legatus, L-E-G-A-T-U-S. Or he was called the presbytes, P-R-E-S-B-E-U-T-E-S. In other words, he had direct commission from the emperor. Please notice, please, that Paul saw and considered himself with a direct commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. I stop for a moment and let you see what I'm trying to present. You and I must this morning realize that we have direct commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, you've accepted Christ as Savior. You've been born into His kingdom. The second thing is God has allowed you to still be alive. And that means that God has a reason and a purpose for you being here. Look, if you will. Paul saw and considered himself with direct commission from Jesus Christ. You and I, in order to have joy inextinguishable, must see ourselves as having been the recipient of a direct commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors. When the Roman Senate decided that a country should become a province, the legata, or the presbytes, determined the boundaries and arranged the terms. I'm trying to let you see that when you look at this passage of Scripture, this verse of Scripture says, we are workers together with Him. You and I have the responsibility of seeing the fact that we are working together with Jesus Christ. You've worked together with a lot of people over the years, haven't you? There have been various experiences in your life when you, in your work world, you've dealt with individuals, you've worked with individuals. But I'm here to point out today that the greatest person you've ever worked with in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that responsibility on a day-by-day basis. The Apostle Paul saw himself. He considered himself under the direct commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did the Apostle Paul have it easy? Of course not. Have you had it easy in your life? Of course not. You've had difficulties and burdens and trials and tests along the way. But what is your attitude? What is my attitude? Do we have joy inextinguishable? If we do, it is because we've determined on a daily basis that we're going to have a proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm having fun, are you? I want you to see that there were those responsible for bringing many into the family of the Roman Empire. Notice, if you will, there were people responsible for bringing many into the family of the Roman Empire. The Apostle Paul considered himself one bringing to men the conditions of God where many could be citizens of the empire of God. I want you to see how powerful this is. I've read through these verses with you. I've read those verses before. Most of you have been able to see that the passage of Scripture is so powerful here because it says that the Apostle Paul did not have it easy. He was an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't have it easy. He says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Then you'll notice that the Apostle Paul begins to enumerate some of the difficulties. He says, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in the midst of much difficulty, afflictions, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, hunger. Do you see all of these? He's listing a number of things about which he faced in life, but he still saw himself and considered himself as one having the responsibility of bringing men to Jesus Christ. And that means to me that here was an individual who had joy inextinguishable. I'm anxious to get to the fact that Paul was an ambassador. We're going to do that in just a little while, but we're going to stop right now because I want you to see we're looking back at our verse. I'm going to go right back down here, and I want you to see with me how powerful this verse of Scripture is. I'm moving all these other pages off the screen, and I want you to see that the Apostle Paul begins in chapter 6, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, working together, and working together. We have an emphasis upon continuous action, working together. We have an emphasis upon the fact that the Apostle Paul was putting forth the action. That's the active voice. We see the circumstances and working together. But notice again, the Apostle Paul says to these Corinthian believers, we beseech you, we entreat you, we beg you, we challenge you. Also, not to receive the grace of God in vain, to no purpose. And you'll notice that that word beseech, as we've already emphasized, is the word to be called along beside. And working together with him, we who are responsible for urging you not to receive the grace of God to no effect, in vain. The question I have for you in closing is, as we live each day, are we responsible for disgracing the grace of God? Are we following satanic influence, and are we finding ourselves not effective as believers because we do not have a joy inextinguishable? A proper relationship to Jesus Christ that helps us on a day-by-day basis to exemplify God's grace, God's love, so that people can know the fact that we do know Jesus Christ and we desire them also to know him. May we bow for a moment a prayer. We close our service today by saying to those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior that God loves you so much. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory, come to this earth as the God-man for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. Not only did he do that, but Jesus Christ came forth out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, sin, and the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. That's where he is right now. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I do not know where you are in relationship to Jesus Christ. You may be hearing this today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I promise you that God does not lie and God does not sponsor any flops. If you believe, God will work the miracle of transformation in your life and you will come to know Jesus Christ personally and you will have joy and happiness in your soul. I encourage you today, if you've never done this, to do it now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe in his name. You could do that right now. I encourage you to do it. Father, we're thankful today for the great grace of God that's so beautifully manifested to all of us through the person of Jesus Christ. And we pray that there will be those, even at this very moment, who will realize that the greatest decision ever to be made in life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And may they do that even now. We thank you that you've given us the assurance that when any person will truly believe and accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says that they will be born into your kingdom. So we pray that there will be those who will do that just now. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.